Now, turning now in the Scriptures to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. Remember, we heard last Lord's Day that there are some gifts, those revelatory gifts, prophecy, knowledge, tongues, that will be done away with. Those gifts will be done away with at the close of the Scriptures, the close of the canon of Scripture. We know now that that time has come. When Paul was writing this letter, it had not yet come. But as those would fade away and cease, the very last verse, but now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so now we come to chapter 14. We'll read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 19. These are the words of God. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, and producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my tongue is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the Amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church I desire to speak five words with my mind, so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. And that is the word of the Lord. The greatest of those which will not cease in the church, faith, hope, and love, is love. And so he opens chapter 14 saying, pursue love. Because the greatest is love, pursue love. Notice, as we have been hearing about spiritual gifts, that we are not to pursue spiritual gifts. He does not ever command us to pursue spiritual gifts. But above all, you are to pursue love. Love in Christ. Love for God. Love for the brethren. But then he says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You should desire spiritual gifts so that you may serve the church. Pursue, strive after, live your life for love. But then he says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You're to pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. And you're especially to desire the greater gift here of prophecy. Or, in general, those that edify the church. Now remember, again that this gift has ceased, prophecy, but in Paul's day it had not. The gift revealed the will of God. It's revealed God's word. Why desire to have the gift of prophecy? Verse 2. But because, he says, speaking in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. It is not edifying to the church. It is edifying only to the one who speaks it. And yet he, the person who speaks it, does not even understand themselves what is being spoken. We learn later in the passage that speaking in tongues had to do with, verse 10, languages in the world. Not just babbling. And yet it would be a type of babbling to someone who does not have an interpreter, who does not understand the language. It is an understanding of a different language than your own. A gift you see at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down and people from different nations are understanding each other even though they don't speak the same language. But for the good of the church, the one who prophesies speaks to men edifying words of exhortation and consolation. And so you're to desire prophecy to edify the church, because speaking in tongues edifies oneself only. Now these gifts have ceased in our day. But even in that day, in Paul's day, one was not to speak in tongues in the church unless they had an interpreter. Unless it edified the brethren. Therefore, there must be one who has the gift to interpret tongues speaking. Otherwise, he's commanding here, do not speak in tongues. For it does not itself edify the church. Paul then continues making the argument of the greater gifts, to desire those gifts, prophecy and not speaking in tongues, or those greater gifts are ones in which they edify the church and not the ones that don't edify the church. You are to pursue, or not pursue, but desire those gifts that edify the church so that you can serve the church as you glorify God, as you serve the Lord. That is an outworking of love, brethren, in the church. Verse 12, since the Corinthians were zealous for spiritual gifts, they're called to seek to abound in that which is for the edification of the church, for love for the brethren. In public worship, if what is being done in the church as a whole, if it's being done for yourself, then you need to stop doing it. It is not for the edification of the body, then it ought not to be done. What we do as a congregation is to love the brethren as we love God, and in our love, doing all to edify one another. That includes public worship. The ending of our passage gives us more understanding of the main point of the passage. There must be an interpreter, but if there is not, and one in Paul's day was speaking in tongues, then the mind, verse 14, is left unfruitful. We see in public worship, we in the church are to be useful in our minds, so that fruit will be produced. Verse 15, you are to pray, of course, with your spirit and your heart, but you are to pray with the mind also. When you sing, you are to sing with your heart, of course, but you are to use your mind also when you sing. The mind is not absent. If you do it with the spirit only in your heart, how is someone supposed to say the Amen? As we're supposed to say the Amen after we sing, after we pray, after we hear the word. How is someone going to say Amen if they're not using their mind? How can you say Amen at the end of prayer, at the end of singing, if you're not using your mind, not worshiping with your mind? You cannot. You cannot say you agree truly with what was just sung or prayed. Verse 19, it is all about not self, but it is about edifying the body, the church. God commands that we worship with our minds. We know the gifts spoken of in the text have ceased. They're no longer given by God, but the great word to us this morning is in all that we do, we are to edify the body. We are to use our minds in the public worship of our God to produce fruit among the body. preaching, hearing, singing, praying, and following along in prayer, and in all those other parts, must all be mind-intensive activities. Not mind only, spirit also, but they must be mind-intensive activities for the fruitful edification of the church of Jesus Christ. And that is the main point that we are to learn this morning here today. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You and thank You for giving us hearts that You have changed by Your Spirit, making them new, that we might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, that we would love You, the Father, and love Your Son, and love the Spirit. We thank You that You have given us hearts then to worship You, to worship You in spirit with our hearts and in truth according to Your Word. We thank You that You have gathered us as the church and You have given us a multitude of gifts, spiritual gifts, various ministries, and all one having one and the same Holy Spirit working in us to glorify You, the God, the Father in heaven. Now, Father, we thank You that You have given us wisdom about these gifts, that we ought not to pursue one particular gift or any assortment of gifts, but we ought to desire them. We ought to desire to serve You. In other words, we ought to desire to serve the church, the body, to edify the body. And so, Lord, may it be that we are enabled to desire these gifts and that You would give us such gifts, that we would be used in the church and the worship of God according to Your will for Your glory and for the good of Your people. Yet, Father, we ask that we would not pursue spiritual gifts, any particular one, but we would pursue love. That the gifts that we have been given by You in them, that they would not be separated from love. As we learned in chapter 13, if they're separated from love, then what we're doing is in vain. They're nothing. We are nothing. And so, Father, enable us to pursue love. Love for You. Love for Your Son. Love for the Church of Jesus Christ. And Your people, even who have gathered here today. Cause us to love one another. And Father, we ask that as we have learned here, that we would, that the mind would not be absent from our worship, that our mind would not be, that You have given us, would not be absent from our daily life where we are used by You. As we serve in love, and often we can see throughout the church, throughout the world, there have been people who have been deceived in these things that we have heard about in chapter 14, and their worship is caught up only in emotion because it is deep felt in their heart and they express it. And yet, Father, it is devoid of the mind. Father, we thank You for their great heart that You have given them and how they love You. And yet, Father, we ask that You would correct them as You have corrected us here today with Your Word. And our worship would not be devoid of the mind. Our mind, this worship that we would have, our mind would be intimately involved. And yet what we often struggle with is the opposite of what the Corinthian church struggled with and what many churches struggle with, and that is the heart. Well, we often go through the motions and attempt to worship You according to truth, according to Your Word, using our minds wisely and well, and yet our hearts are often joyless, or without great emotion, without great feeling, without great zeal. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn us from such sins and cause us to repent of that. And if we are failing in our minds, we ask that You would forgive us of such sins. We confess them here before You today. And we know that You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness for Christ's sake. For He is our righteousness, and He is our advocate before You, the Father. He is our propitiation. And so, Father, we trust in Him. or make our worship perfect, perfect our worship in Christ. Cause us to grow in our worship of You. When we pray, when we hear Your word, when we sing, when we're hearing the others of the body singing, hearing them speak to us the word of God, when we're hearing the preached word, when we're hearing another pray, Father, cause us to use our hearts by Your Spirit, and cause us to use our minds by Your Spirit, that we might at the end be able to agree with what has been preached, what has been sung, what has been prayed, and be able to say the Amen with the rest of the body of Christ. Now, Father, we do praise You this day that You're a God who heals our bodies. We praise You that Ron is feeling much better today. And we pray also that You would continue healing him and others who are sick and who are ill, or the bones are not working as they ought. We thank You that Sharon's surgery went well this week, and that she is feeling better each day, and ask that You would continue to heal her. Father, we do pray that You would grant Your people good health, that we would, in Your church, be able to serve the body of Christ, and even be able to proclaim the gospel to a world which hates You and who is offended at You, and therefore hates us, as we'll learn in coming moments with Haman, who hates Your people. Father, we ask that we would be good witnesses of the gospel for You. And Father, we ask, strengthen us now in our worship. We continue to love You. Lord, enable us to do so. To love You. To keep Your commandments, even in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.